traffic collision at 9:30 this morning on Highway 9 at California Drive, and it was a three-vehicle crash. There's glass and debris in the roadway, and CHP's on the scene. They're trying to do some towing of the vehicles, so got a little delay there and a little debris, so watch out for that one. And if you see something else out there, you can call me at 475-1080, and I will report it. The official time is 10:06 and 33 seconds on this Saturday, November 5th, and it is the Saturday special time. That's what time it is, right? Okay. Well, I'm Nikki James, and MZ should be joining
me.
I'm here. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. I'm just checking.
I'm here.
I was just telling everybody it's Saturday special time.
You know how I know that I'm here?
How do you know?
Because I'm about to ask you a very personal question.
Here we go with the personal questions. And I'm not surprised.
May I ask you a personal question?
Yes, you may. I may or may not answer.
That's the same way you answer all the time whenever I ask you that question.
I love it.
It was about 30 years ago that somebody walked up to me and said, "May I ask you a personal question?"
Oh, and you use that line wherever now.
Yeah. It just stuck, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what the personal question was? It wasn't how many times I'd had sex, but it was how much money do I make?
Ooh, that is personal.
That's very, very personal.
Okay,
The guy said, "Oh, good. It looks like Pharmacist Ben is calling. He's gonna be monitoring and maybe checking in. He's gonna be monitoring, maybe checking
okay.
in." So, yeah, he's on hold now. And
sounds
whistleblower
good.
Is on hold.
Yeah, we got the whistleblower.
Yeah, that's just part of my persona now where I like to ask personal questions. Now, here's the personal question.
I'm ready.
For you. Are you going to take your money out of a big bank and put it into a small bank today?
I have been thinking strongly about it. It's not going to happen today, but I actually have been thinking about it. So the answer to your question is maybe.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Today is the day, you know.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, if
so
you don't do it,
today,
it's the death penalty.
Oh, okay. So either I die or I take my money out. Okay, I'll think about it.
All right, very good. Now, hey, do we have the stuff?
Hey, yeah, you got to switch. There you go.
So I have
perfect.
To switch it
and
here.
Then minimize.
Okay. And
perfect.
Then turn up the turn up computer
yeah.
A, or is it computer B?
It's A.
I'm going to press this button and see if it works.
Good morning.
It worked.
Yeah. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know.
Inarguably, not arguably, inarguably, we have the sexiest radio control room on planet Earth. It's all finished. Kudos to Richard B. Luther and his team of engineers who have put the finishing touches on our broadcast thing here. So stay with us the next 2 hours. You'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Now I just need to learn how to off the damn thing. All right, welcome to the Saturday special, everybody. It's your friend and mine, MZ. Yes, that's me. I'm speaking in the third person here. And last week, we had a Saturday special that caused a stir. I don't know how else to put it. We had a man named the Whistleblower on. And he blew the whistle on Bank of America and Chase Bank and some of these other big banks that have really raped us. And so we had a really spirited, interesting discussion last week. And so by popular demand, or by popular request, I should say. People don't demand, but they request that we explain in lay terms exactly what's going on. You know, it's very, 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 very technical. However, if you know how to explain it, which I believe the whistleblower knows how to explain it in lay terminology, we can all be educated so as to at least know what's happening to us right now. And instead of not knowing what's happening, we all know that something's happening to us and it ain't good. We know that much. But it would be nice to know what we can do about it. And before we can figure out what to do about it, we need to understand it. So we thought it would make sense to ask the whistleblower to come back on. He kindly offered to do a little primer, a little talk about how the whole system works. And I should say, well, let's just bring the whistleblower on here. Figure out how to do this here. Is that you, whistleblower?
It's me.
How are you feeling today? Be honest.
Like $1 million.
What a horrible phone line you're connected to. How did that happen?
What, is it not a good sound on your end?
Well, it's all hummy and buzzy.
Let me see if I can switch. Hang on. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, let me see if I can get this in position. All right. So...
All right, so listen, so you remember what happened last week.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, we had a lot of callers, and a lot of people are irritated. And today is the day. And by the way, who proclaimed this the day to move your money from the big institutions to the smaller local ones?
Not sure if that's... I know it's sort of intermixed with the Occupy movement. I'm not sure if it was someone within that movement, but they seem to be... Well, a lot of the... I would say the majority of the anger is towards the banks from that movement. And, you know, I thought about maybe how to try to explain as best I could in layman's terms how we've gotten into this mess.
Yeah, let's do it.
So if we look back... You know, I can't remember the exact day when the transfer occurred, but before I was a twinkle in my parent's eye, there was a time when you went to get a mortgage loan. The bank that was going to lend you the money actually had to lend that to you. You know, they had to have depositor money to cover it. And it was possible that you could be qualified for a loan. And the bank, you could go in there, and they just might be at a point in their cycle where they literally might not have enough money to lend you to make that purchase, and you might have to come back in the next month. And so what happened to speed this process up, a couple of things happened and to lead us to where we are, where the churning and the growth of this was allowed by a couple of things, including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac insuring loans. And once Wall Street got into the game, basically what banks were able to do was lend out money and then for home purchases. And then those mortgage loans were aggregated into groups of 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 loans. And then they were sold on Wall Street, and they were securitized and turned into a bond so that someone could purchase a portion. When you're buying a portion of a bond, you would be buying essentially into a pool of 1,000 mortgages. And, of course, the theory is if you're buying into 1,000 mortgages, you might have a few homeowners default, but, you know, chances are not that great that, you know, 10 or 20 or 30% of the people living in their homes are going to just stop paying their mortgages. So they were considered, fairly safe investments. But as the process started to increase and more homes got sold and the prices started to elevate, sometime around 2004 or 5, certainly here in California, it reached the point where, you know, very few people could afford a mortgage in the traditional sense, like the old days where you put down 20% and you get a 30-year fixed. And it reached the point where to keep this process going, and Wall Street was hungry for more of these packages of mortgages because they were selling them around the world and making unbelievable amounts of money. So they were encouraging the standards to get lower and lower in terms of who they would lend to. And it reached the point where the prices got so high that they reduced it from 20% down on a house to 10% down to 5%. And before you know it, you know, there was a zero down.
Before you know it, they were paying you.
Before you know it, you could even walk away with a few bucks and maybe 2 or 3% in your pocket. So, you know, it became, so as that, churning occurred, what started happening is that, this derivatives market grew up. And a derivative is, you can think of it like, the best way I can describe it, it's like insurance policy. And there are derivatives in many areas. There's derivatives in commodities. There's derivatives, believe it or not, that people will set up against the weather. It's like a bet in the same sense that if you insure your car or your life with a insurance company, you know, they're doing their actuarials and they're charging you what they charge you because they figure the chances are you're probably going to live at least 20 or 30 years. And of course, depending on your age, your weight, your health, the premium is going to go up or down. But it's essentially a bet. If I get life insurance, I'm paying a premium to the life insurance company as long as, you know, I don't die early in the game. You know, over the long haul, they know they're going to make their money. A few people get hit by a bus, and they get, maybe they make a couple payments, and then the insurance company has to make a big payout. Well, they lost on that bet, but they're making it on the whole, they're making money because they know that not everyone's going to get hit by a bus. So what's happened with these derivatives, and this is where I think so much of the anger is, that people are realizing that. And this is something you can read. There's a story in this about this in the LA Times and many other newspapers about how Goldman Sachs and others were doing things such as helping certain individuals to cherry pick a pool of mortgages. So they would go through the mortgages, and sure, there were some people that were putting down 20% and getting a 30-year fix, and they had documented their income, and you could see their tax returns, and they made good money, and they had plenty of money to pay the mortgage. So that would not be a pool of mortgages you would want to bet against. That's a solid pool. If everyone in that pool is, you know, declaring their income, showing you tax returns, and so on, that's a good pool. But they were cherry picking the ones where the people had no assets, you know, bad credit.
Actually cherry picking.
Actually cherry picking the ones.
How do you know that? Where did that come from?
It's been, you can read it in the LA Times. There's an article there in the LA Times that talks about this. The article, SEC targets Goldman Sachs with fraud suit. Los Angeles Times, what is the date on that? April 17, 2010. I'll read. The case against Goldman and one of its young vice presidents alleged that they created securities based on subprime mortgages that would probably collapse. Those securities were secretly selected by hedge fund Paulson & Co., which was separately betting that such mortgage-backed securities were going to fail. So as they're selling these mortgage-backed securities and making money on the sale, they have cherry-picked them so that they think they're most likely to fail, and then they're placing bets and, you know, essentially setting up a derivative relationship so that they're going to make some premium payments, but when those fail, they're going to get paid out. So, I mean, that's fraud on the of it. You're selling somebody something.
It's almost like an insurance policy, a life insurance policy, where you invest in something and then you secret, have the person killed after you make a few payments.
Exactly. You're slipping a little arsenic into their food every day, so you figure in 6 months they're toast and you've got an insurance policy on them. So they're cherry-picking stuff that's likely to fail, getting it rated as AAA, sell it for top dollar, and then insuring it so that when it does blow up, they get paid again. So, I mean, this is, you know, if somebody down in the lower echelons of society does something like that, they call it fraud, and, you know, you go to prison for years. But, you know, we just are not seeing any prosecutions, and there's just stories like this. This is not an isolated incident. There is, it's clear that these mortgage-backed securities were packaged, mislabeled as AAA, sold off to people that just simply did, you know, their due diligence went as far as, oh, it's rated AAA by Moody's or Standard & Poor's? Great. I'll take it. And they were relying on those ratings to make that decision and didn't actually go through and do a sampling and pull out these the paperwork and pour it through it and try to figure out if it was legit. Nope, it was rated AAA. So pension funds and sovereign wealth funds and, you know, various different people around the world bought into these things and you know, are really getting hosed. So but
all right, so that just started happening fairly recently, or did this start happening? Well,
I think the
meltdown happened in 2008, but none of this happened until 2010, right, or 2011 even.
This article came out in April of 2010. Anyone wants to look it up, just look up Los Angeles Time, SEC, as in Securities Exchange Commission. SEC targets Goldman Sachs with fraud, and you will see that story in the Los Angeles Times, and I'm sure you can find it in many places. But that is, you know, absolutely as crooked as it gets. And it's this sort of baiting people into thinking, oh, I can get my piece of the American pie. Wow, I can get a home for no money down. And my, you know, they're telling me I can probably refinance it in 2 or 3 years and, you know, even pay off other debt and pull out money and or sell it for profit and, you know, sucking these people in. And, you know, and now what's really, I think, is upsetting people is this. And I'm going to quote here from the from Bloomberg here, where Robert Titan, former Justice Department official, says, talking about this is billions and billions of dollars that we're now finding out that the big banks and even Morgan Stanley, who's not even a bank, were getting from the secret Fed window, as they're saying that they're strong and, oh, we're paying back all of our debts. Largest borrower, Morgan Stanley, I'm quoting from Bloomberg, got as much as $103 billion. Citigroup took $99 billion. America, $91.4 billion. According to the Bloomberg News compilation of data obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, after months of litigation and an act of Congress, we're able to get this information. These numbers are whopping numbers, said Robert Litton, a former Justice Department official who in 1990 served on a commission probing the causes of the savings and loan crisis. You're talking about the aristocracy of finance going down the tubes without federal money. Let me repeat. You're talking about the aristocracy of American finance going down the tubes without federal money. Where's our federal money? That's the problem. This is what's pissing people off. If everyone could go down the tubes, I think you wouldn't see everyone would be upset. But if the pain was being felt at the top and the bottom equally, I don't think you'd see such anger. But what we're seeing is that the aristocracy of American finance would like to have capitalism for them and us in the good times, and in the bad times, they don't want capitalism. They want socialism. They want to be bailed out by
corporate,
the people at the bottom.
Corporate socialism.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that is really the basis of this anger. And
Well, that makes it clear. So all right. Well, that cuts to the chase now, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's real
and
simple.
Then,
it's real easy to understand.
Now, I'm going to throw out one more thing, and then maybe you want to take some calls, but I'm reading now from the New York Post, and this is a quote from the New York Post article on October 21st entitled, Sleight of Hand, B of A Moves Dodgy Merrill Derivatives to the Bank. And I'm quoting, at issue is Bank of America's decision to shift what sources say is some $55 trillion with a T in derivatives at Merrill Lynch into a retail banking unit which houses trillions in deposits insured by the FDIC. What they've done is they've taken some bad bets, these insurance policies, and I can assure you they didn't take the ones they think are not going to blow up. They shifted the ones, they cherry-picked the ones that they think are most likely to blow up, and they shifted them into Bank of America, out of their investment banking into their depositor banking side, so that as those debts go bad, or those derivatives blow up and payments have to be made, they can use depositor money to do it, and thereby, of course, when they run out of money to give depositors, that money will be backstopped by the FDIC and in turn by the American taxpayer. So much of this is tied to the Greek situation,
which is a dastardly plan, but it's worked, huh?
Well, so far, there's 18 work. Lawmakers now that are trying to fight against it, but the Fed is in favor of it. FDIC is not happy about it. The Fed is in favor of it, and at the moment, the Congress has given the Fed really complete control, so they can jump up and down. At the moment, they don't have the ability, so it seems, to stop it.
Yeah, well, anyhow, whistleblower, it's pretty clear what's going on. We're going to invite people to call now, 479-1080, if you want to, be part of the program here on the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, 479-1080, or you can email mz@ksco.com. That's me. mz@ksco.com. Saturday specials today featuring a discussion of the derivatives situation and how the American public is, I keep using the word being raped. There's just no better word for it. No better word than raped.
And I'm going to just read you a quick statement from Warren Buffett, who testified in front of Congress in front of a financial crisis inquiry commission in March, and he describes derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction. And he says, and he warned the commission in March of this year that the trillions in derivatives held by major banking institutions could be disruptive to the whole financial system, and the risks are virtually unmanageable. So there's not even a clearinghouse, so it's not clear. In other words, there's no central clearinghouse for these. We can even exactly say what the total value of all the derivatives are, but it's high in the trillions. Hundreds of trillions of the estimates are coming out. Hundreds of trillions. Because remember, we're just talking about mortgage-backed securities that were, on which derivatives were created and sold, also known as default swaps. But they're in the commodities market. They were dreaming up ways, and again, they were over-insuring. So they took a $14 trillion U.S. mortgage market, which you would think, if it was legitimate, if you wanted to insure a $14 trillion worth of mortgage insurance, one would think the absolute maximum you could insure that to would be $14 trillion. But in fact, they began reinsuring and insuring and basically they insured a $14 trillion mortgage market out to the tune of $75 trillion. So when $1 million
it's like over-insuring your property or your life or something like that.
It would be like everyone in your block insured your house against fire, so when your house burned down, instead of you just getting $1 million, everyone on the block got $1 million. So 7 million insurance policies got paid out on $1 million house.
Okay. So this should make a lot of people very angry, and I'm sure it is. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to join the Saturday special. Let's go to our first caller now, and I believe that will be Rory in Watsonville. You there, Rory?
I am. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Rory.
Can you hear me okay?
Sure. I hear you just fine.
Yeah, I've been aware of this Texas, Tampa B of A to move their losses on Merrill Lynch unit over to the retail banking since, I don't know, mid-October. And the thing we got to remember is that I don't care if the Fed's for it. They're not a regulatory agency. The FDIC just flat out say no, N-O. And let these jokers go bankrupt. The thing is, there might not be a clearinghouse right now, but when they go to bankruptcy court, that's the clearinghouse. And they'll get all the facts on the table and pick this insane thing apart. Because what I read was Merrill Lynch had 70, I think, yeah, it was like $75, $77 trillion in derivatives.
That's right.
That they owe. And that's, at this point, I mean, our GDP is what? $3.7 trillion?
No, I think it's in the 15, 14 trillion
range.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the federal budget. Excuse me.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You're right. Yeah, the GDP is about
14. About the same as, ironically, about the same as our total mortgage debt in the country.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm telling you guys, don't give me, we already went through this with TARP and this too big to fail crapola that I was against. So let these guys fail.
Not only let them fail, my friend, what we're calling for is to make them fail. We're calling, and today is national, today and the 8th is 2 days. Today and the 8th, which is Tuesday, is National Pull Your Money Out of Bank of America Day, and I'm happy to say I personally am responsible for probably $300,000 in friends and family coming out of Bank of America and Chase.
Yeah, 2 years ago after that TARP baloney, we moved all our banking out of Chase. It just, you know, the Chase had just subsumed bank after bank, you know, or banks were, you know how it is. You start with the local bank, pretty soon you're owned by a national.
So, Rory,
moved it 2 years ago to a local credit union. Screw these guys.
My personal question to you. Oh, okay, you've already answered it. So all of it, you don't have any money in any of the large.
No, we dumped Chase. They asked us why. I said, well, you guys get your act together and maybe we'll tell you why.
Why don't you be honest? I don't know. So,
thing is, how do we get to the bottom of this unless you go through bankruptcy court?
You mean in terms of bankrupting the banks?
Well, yeah, no, declare your books, Merrill Lynch, B of A. Let's see what's there. They haven't declared their books.
No.
You want to shove this off on the FDIC so you and I, each one of us as taxpayers, are going to have to cover those losses?
That's what they want to do, my friend. That's what they want to do.
We have other callers here, and we've got
this
some.
This is time. The last thing I'll say is it's time for you and me and all citizens call their representatives and tell them to tell the Fed hell no. The Fed's not a regulatory agency. All they can do is make recommendations.
Right.
Call the FDIC. Tell our representative. You tell the FDIC no. Tell the Fed to stay out of it. Go back to their private banking consortium. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for your call, Rory. Right. Okay, we'll be back with more from Whistleblower after this break. But I want to let you know that today is a K day. Kay is here. If anybody wants to come to the radio station, pick up a copy of Kay's book. It's a great book. There is no I don't think there's a much better, more imaginative holiday gift that you could pick up a number of them here, and there will be certainly a quantity discount here extended to you. So if you want to come on down to the station at 2300 Portola and pick up a Kay's commentary book, you can do so, and she'll be here to sign it for you right up until a little after noon today. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with more from the Whistleblower and from you, the callers, right after this. Take it away, Nikki.
This is Sylvia Panetta of the Panetta Institute inviting you to join us for the 2011 Jefferson Lincoln Awards. The proceeds of this special event, to be held on November 5th at the Inn at Spanish Bay, support our mission to inspire young men and women to lives of public service. Seats and sponsor tables are still available. Call 582-4200 for more information on how you can support the Panetta Institute. Again, 582-4200. Join us.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Benelman Market. This week we are featuring Florida red grapefruit, 2 for $1. Florida grows exceptional grapefruit, and these beauties are full of juice and flavor. We also have Wisconsin 12-ounce package cranberries, 2 for $4. And from Mexico, large red bell peppers, 99 cents a pound, and large Haas avocados, 87 cents each. In organics, we are featuring Oregon large red potatoes and large Yukon gold potatoes, 99 cents a pound. We also have organic red pears and the Anjou pears from Washington, $1.27 a pound. Don't forget to put your order in for your favorite Kisnish Ranch pie for Thanksgiving. The produce department will be happy to take your order while you check out our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Markets.
Radio Dave Stuff.com. Hello, Dave Allen here. You've heard about VitaminGoddess.com. You've heard about FlowerPowerDrink.com. You've heard about the delicious benefits of dark chocolate. Well, let me tell you, we can find them all in one stop. RadioDaveStuff.com. That's right, there's also free things there. Free music, free things to motivate your soul. RadioDaveStuff.com. Enjoy.
If you're the type of person who likes to volunteer and help others, this should interest you. What better way to help people than to help them overcome their health challenges? Youngevity has been helping people overcome their health challenges for years. Our approach to health is drastically different than medical doctors who mostly only treat symptoms. As a veterinarian, Dr. Joel Wallach discovered that many common disease states are actually preventable and reversible. Our mission at Youngevity is to educate Americans about their own health. If you like helping people, join us in our fight to save America. While you're helping people prevent and overcome health challenges, you will also be able to build a lucrative home-based business. So what are you waiting for? Come join us and help save America. For more information or to order, call Andy or Phyllis Anderson at 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Is that really bumper music? What's it called?
It's called Money by Pink Floyd.
Oh.
It's a great song. I thought it coincided.
Yeah, no, you're right on. Absolutely.
Money. Right?
Perfect, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Can anybody ever have too much money? They say, what is it? Do you, if you had money, if I had money, I have some money, but if I had,
you have more than me.
Yeah, but I mean,
you're older than me though.
Right,
if just by a few years.
If you had more than me, and how much would be enough?
Enough?
Yeah.
I don't think that people that want money ever have enough, and I don't think that people that have money ever have enough. And if they do,
the answer is never enough. Never enough, no matter who you are.
No, and if they do, they're not happy.
Oh,
that's what I think.
All right.
We'll see.
Yeah. What does pharmacist Ben think?
You
got John? No, you don't. Okay, never mind. I'll put him on hold. How do you put him back on hold? How do you do that? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back up here.
Back up here.
And go. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Hey, I need help from the engineer.
Just pot his volume down, number one, phone one.
I did. Oh, I thought I did that. Phone one and phone two. Oh, okay. All righty. So, yeah. It's locked. Need to unlock it. Now we can put it back on hold. And boy, I need training on this, gang. This is just awful. This is just it's not all that complicated, but it's different and it's new. You there?
Whistleblower is here.
Whistleblower is there. Okay, and you sound okay, but I wonder why the other one didn't sound good. It was echoing and sounding horrible, just awful. Like if I was listening to the station and I heard that noise, I would tune out the station and never tune it back in again.
Oh, don't be so harsh on yourself.
Okay. All right, so where were we? We got a bunch of people who want to talk to you here. So let me see if I can lock you in. You're locked. And now let's bring in Rex from Salinas. Are you there, Rex?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Rex. Welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and the Whistleblower.
Okay, thank you. I just want to mention about these loans under the Bush administration. I remember Bush, under his administration, pushed to make it banks easier to give loans to low-income people. In fact, one of the remarks he mentioned that everybody should be able to afford a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the banks were even under threat of lawsuits for discrimination if they did not make one of these low-income loans, because it had not made enough to those low-income people. And a lot of the brokers on those loans, they said they were going so fast, they're called no-doc loans. In other words, you don't have the documents. They don't really need, you can just tell them how much you make, and they don't really check your documents to say if you make 30.
They don't even ask for them. They don't need your tax returns.
Yeah, and they said if you weren't getting no-doc loans, you were left out because everybody else was doing it during that time.
It was standard business practice for probably, in California, 75-80% of alls were no-doc loans sometime after 2003 or 4, I would say.
Yeah, there was a long time ago something similar to this happened. I think it was in the 80s or something. I remember talking to a man who ran a bank over there in Southern California. And they were pretty easy with loans. I think it was in the 80s. I can't remember what year exactly. And he says their bank went to they couldn't believe that their bank actually, instead of the old days, they used to do a drive-by the house and look at it from the outside and just take a value of it and compare other homes in the area. But his bank actually went to the house that they were going to give loans on and went in and inspected the inside of the house, which was very unusual. But I don't think you see banks doing that now.
Do they send over an appraiser? I don't know if they're even allowed to do it by appraisal anymore. I think they would be required to go in and do a thorough inspection of the house now. There was a point when you could do a drive-by appraisal, yes.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Anyway, a lot of this stuff. And then we sold all these bad loans off to all the foreign countries. So basically all of Greece and some of these other countries like Iceland and all those bought a lot of these loans, and that's why they're in trouble.
Beyond trouble. Iceland, of course, has gone through a sort of a disorderly bankruptcy, essentially.
Yeah, they didn't have real professionals. They'd never been in the market before, and they jumped in that market because everybody was making money, and then they ate it. I think they only had like two or three banks in Iceland.
All right, we want to thank you for your call to the Saturday special, Salinas Rex.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. Many thanks. There goes Salinas Rex. And, here goes, who's next here? Well, there's Martha in Wattsville.
Sorry, I have to run and close my radio.
Oh, okay. Well, Martha's running to close her radio, let's go to Brad in Santa Cruz. Okay, Brad, I think you're on the air. Yeah, are you on the air, Brad? Hi, Brad, you're on.
Okay, hey, thanks. Yeah, I was just listening to this, and I thought that there were a few things that, I agree, maybe a little bit disagree sometimes. And that, first of all, nobody should sit there and think, oh, this is a Democrat or Republican thing, because both sides of this are so deep into what's going on. You have a lot of this starting under Clinton. You have it going all the way through Bush. You now have Obama, who's taking more money from Wall Street than any other president ever has. So this is systemic. And, I think it's interesting to note also that, when people talk about these trillions and trillions of dollars in derivatives, what they're talking about is maximum exposure. In other words, if they had to pay every single derivative, it's kind of like if you had an insurance company and they one day had to pay all their insurance policies at the same time. That's what this exposure is. So it's kind of deceiving a little bit.
Remember, the numbers are so big that if they only end up with 10% exposure, it's devastating. 10% is going to be such a whopping number that it'll make the $700 billion initial bailout look like nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't finished yet, but that's okay. You're absolutely right. And, one of the huge problems behind this, as you said, is that if it weren't for the derivative market, the whole mortgage thing would have solved it. We would have paid it off. It's the derivative market, and it's still there. It has not gone away. There, these banks, like Bank of America, they're still holding tens of trillions of dollars of these toxic assets that they are right now counting as being full value. And until they get rid of them, you know, there's not going to be any kind of solvency, you know, in the system.
And you see the benefit of trying to work together as a grassroots people to insist on the breakup of these massive big banks and a return to small community banks, none of which will own the government like the big banks have come to own them?
Well, remember, what in essence, what you're really talking about is dissolving the Federal Reserve.
That would be a good start. We need to
put what a lot of people don't realize is that the Federal Reserve is a private organization bent on making money.
That's right.
So when they see banks at Wall Street, they're invested in those banks and in Wall Street. And so it is to their advantage that the government pay for all stakes that they made. So, of course, you've got Bernanke saying, oh, yeah, we want Bank of America to push all that stuff into FDIC accounts so the government will pay for it. That way our stocks will go up. It's this horrible conflict of interest.
What we need to do is make the Federal Reserve actually be fully governmental instead of have government appointees, but really be a private corporate entity. We, in 1913, we changed over to this current system, and the system is corrupt at its core and gives the power of minting our own money away to private corporation.
Oh, yeah.
Federal Reserve. And now we know they're giving whoever they want to, like they said in the L.A. Times, the aristocracy of the finance world, the Fed just gives them as much money as they want in secret. And thank God now at least the law has passed that we can find out what they're doing. But we can only find out after 24 months has passed. We can't find out who the Fed is propping up today. But 2 years from today, we can find out who they gave money out. They don't want people to know what's going on minute by minute.
That's valueless.
It's a step in the right direction. We have information 2 years from now. But what it is they don't want people to know, hey, if Bank of America needs $50 billion today, that's a very bad sign, and that could cause a bank run. So they want to try to keep that at least information minute by minute out of our hands.
Do you remember when they were asking Geithner, well, where did you who did you give all of our money to? And he said, I'm not going to tell you. I don't have to.
Yep.
That was the Congress he was talking to. I'm not going to tell you who I gave the money to because I don't have to. And
That's right. And
Congress just said, okay.
All righty. Thank you, Brad.
There's something wrong here.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Brad, bye-bye. Thank you. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. That opens up a line at 479-1080.
Can I ask a question? I'm just curious out there, what if people are that are listening are a part of this Occupy movement and recognize it for at least what I get as, which is not about breaking stuff and causing fires like a few fringe people in this movement have done, but really is an anger about this the aristocracy being propped up by the government and the rest of us being booted out, kicked out of our homes. You know, my sister's lost a house. I have other family members that have lost homes. It's just nuts. Are the people out there participating in this Occupy? I'd be curious to see whether what your listeners have to say about the Occupy movement.
I don't know. I'd be interested if any participants of Occupy are listening, because they're probably not listening because they're busy occupying
and are pulling their money out of the bank.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so but anyhow, if you want to give us a call, 479-1080. I know we have at least one line open. Here's an email from Mark Grew. Michael, thanks for having Whistleblower on again. Charlie Friedman and Corey Gold believe that the housing mortgage crisis is caused by irresponsible individuals purchasing homes they cannot afford. The whistleblower is pointing out a different problem: credit default swaps and derivatives. Question, please ask the whistleblower if the home buyers have caused this problem. Consider yourself asked, and I know
you answered. Sure. So, I mean, you know, on some level, you can say that there's some culpability with the buyers, the sellers, the mortgage brokers, the mid-level bankers all the way up to the top.
No, it's the bankers exclusively. It's the bankers exclusively, unless people are doing, you know, for having these what do you call them, stated income loans.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying.
They don't make anybody prove anything, or they didn't.
Basically, we the people were digging to the music, but the people at the top were setting the beat. They were the ones that were saying, hey, you don't need to tell us your income. In fact, it was common knowledge that if you couldn't get the loan at the first round because you declared your income was 50, well, you know, maybe your income was, you know, closer to 60. Let's see if that'll fly. There were systems built into the bank that they were teaching the mortgage, you know, the lenders how to game so that you could do two or three tries. So if you put in one income and it didn't approve, then you just adjusted by $5,000 or $10,000 a year until you got it to be approved.
All right, now that they're starting to make loans again now, right? I mean,
sure.
you know about this, right?
Well, I mean, there's loans being made.
There are loans being made. For a while, there were no loans being made anywhere, but they're starting to be made again, and they're starting to back off. The same things are starting to happen again. Am I right? They're letting people. They're starting to relax the requirements, so that people who have no business getting mortgages are starting to be allowed to again.
I think it's
a cyclical thing. Whistleblower.
No, they're not. Let's put it this way: they are allowing properties to be purchased with 3.5% down, but they are also requiring, you know, you cannot just state your income. To the best of my knowledge, it would be required that you're going to have to provide tax returns and actually demonstrate you can afford the payment in question. So it's not.
So there's no such thing as no qualifier loans anymore.
Stated income loans. To my knowledge, and maybe there's a banker out there that could tell me if there's a program out there I'm not aware of, but to my knowledge, at this point, they are requiring, there's no stated income loan anymore at this time.
Right.
So, and again, you know, if we can say we're all dancing to the music, everybody that was involved in any way buying, selling, or lending in real estate was having a great time in 05. The problem is that many of us, and most of us, did not know that the market was being further inflated by the fraud and manipulation at the top, nor did we, you know, and we all knew, you know, there's always been any investment, but what's unfortunate is that for the people at the bottom, when things go bad, you know, you could literally end up on the street, whereas the people at the top simply just get however many billions they need out of the Federal Reserve directly, and are directly propped up by the government. So
let's go to our next caller. That's Rick in Scotts Valley. Rick, you're on the air on the Saturday special.
Hey, MG.
Hey, speak up. Can't hear you.
Hold on a second. Let me get
much better, on. Much better, much better. Go ahead.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a caller a while ago that said we need to look at Bush and all that stuff and where it started. Let me give you a personal experience of what happened and then how I connected the dots back. And Carter did the Community Reinvestment Act. He ended up forcing, and Acorn got involved, and they ended up forcing banks to give these loans to people. And they were part of it. The more that this thing would start out, then the Freddie Fannie thing with Countrywide, they were in collusion. And this guy from Countrywide was selling mortgages like crazy. He was the biggest in the nation. It got so big, MZ, that like your health food multi-level marketing business, your whatever you guys call it, networking.
Yeah.
WLG was a company started by a guy named Hubert Humphrey, who was an A.L. Williams. I personally got involved in that because I've already told you my story about the FSLIC back in the Keaton Five and all that, the three jobs that went
bankrupt. Yeah, but I forgot it.
Okay, well, anyway, I couldn't even use my license. I couldn't get a checking account for 13 years because the feds went bankrupt on me and they dissolved the FSLIC and the FDIC came in and took all the thrifts and then there were no more savings and loans and they were all became banks. Well, McCain was part of the Keating Five. Alan Cranston was part of the Keating Five.
I remember
But yet McCain and Bush went to Freddie and Fannie in 2002 and said, "Hey, this is out of control. You guys have got to reel this in." And our buddy Barney Frank said, "Oh no, everything's just fine." Well, they continued to disregard it. Countrywide sold more loans than anybody. WLG had an online thing where I could go in and give a guy a mortgage, no doc loan, and I did it. I sold four mortgages before I realized what was happening, and then everything came to an end. My timing was really bad. But because I can't do my contracting work because they won't allow me to use my license because what the feds did to me, I worked for other people for the last 20 years. But yet now...
Including now?
Yeah, right now I work for other people because I can't use my... I can't even get my veterans benefits because of the FSLIC. They won't even let me buy...
Are you taking your money to the big banks today?
I've never had any of my money. I've been cash. I don't even exist on the credit rolls.
Something happened to your phone and you're distorting now, Rick. What did you do?
What's that?
Something happened to your phone and you're overdriving. You're distorting now.
I went back on speaker. Is that better?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. I bumped it with my cheek. But anyway, when I was in WLG, check this out. They were saying that Countrywide was their biggest customer. We went to Vegas and we listened to a guy named Rick Edelman. He's on KSFO. He's a big wig financial advisor. He virtually said, when a man asked him, because we were leery about this whole thing in the beginning, and there was a lot of developers and contractors getting in it because then they could finance their own spec homes. But the guy asked Rick Edelman in this conference, what happens if this, virtually, he described what happened. And Edelman said, don't worry, the banks always can figure out how to create a product to take care of another product. Well, when I started, or a product that fails. So when I started connecting, Edelman was in on it, Countrywide was in on it, Countrywide and Freddie Mac was in it together, and they were forcing these loans out of pure greed. Now, whether they're on a road to destroy America, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, it is financial, the economic hitman is what people should do. And they are orchestrating this. The Wall Street people are out there. They're upset, but just like Stalin said, they were useful idiots. They are going to be useful idiots. They're going to collapse the system. That's their main socialist view, so that there's so much disaster and chaos in the world that one person will step into the seat here in America, and we will become a banana republic. Whether that comes in 5 years, 2 years, whatever, I don't know. But the way I connected the dots in my lifetime, because I was out of politics. I mean, I rebuked God and Rush Limbaugh for 20 years. You know, I never listened to the radio. I just went out and made my living, and I didn't pay attention to anything. But I got back involved because of Barack Obama and listened to one person describe him. It is premeditated. Everything is premeditated, but the progressives have one thing that the conservatives don't, and that's patience. We want it all right now, the yuppies. We want the big car, the big house, and all that. And we are part of the problem. And our greed comes in self-satisfaction. It doesn't come in creating and destroying other people, because the Madoffs are the people that want the control. And you keep asking that question. So the lesser of two evils, is it the greedy people who want control? They don't care how much money they have. They just won't want anybody else to have anything. Or is it the people like you and me that want to have a nice life, go take our kids skiing on the weekends and have a nice speedboat and the biggest four-wheel drive in town? But everybody wants it, and it takes money to do it. So we all have to step down. And if Bank of America is the one that's in the sights now, then do it to Bank of America, but don't do it to all the banks. That'll collapse the whole government.
Well, it's not just Bank of America. The call is for the big four, Bank of America, Citibank, Chase. The problem is it's not going to be pretty if we do break them up. It's going to be a little bit disorganized for sure. But what is the alternative? Continue letting them rape
law, Richard wants. Richard wants martial law. You watch. You break up the banks. I know you're right. I know that if you trace all those people back to those banks, it's the Rothschilds. It goes all the way back. And what have they done since the 1776 is they have tried to do what they're pissed off because we beat the shit out of them.
No, you can't say that word. We're done. We're done, Rick. That's we're done with this hour anyhow. It's if you're on hold here, we'll get to you following the next hour, and then we're going to switch over to another guest. This is KSCO, Santa Cruz Salinas Monterey, San Jose. It is 11 a.m. Here's CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news, the king of grouch is dead. Longtime CBS News commentator Andy Rooney died last night of complications from recent surgery. 60 Minutes colleague Bob Simon says Rooney was really a nice guy, despite his reputation as a curmudgeon.
When I joined 60 Minutes... And 60 Minutes is not the easiest club in the world to join. He was awfully, awfully nice. He invited me to lunch. He'd call now and then to see how I was doing. He's a sweetheart of a human being.
Andy Rooney was 92. Tens of thousands of demonstrators gathered in Rome today to voice their opposition to the government of Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi and its reforms. Many want him to resign. CNN's Matthew Chance reports Italy's debt is potentially even a bigger problem than Greece's.
Its debts are of a different order of magnitude than those of Greece. $2.6 trillion is the public debt here in Italy. There are growing concerns that the government of Silvio Berlusconi does not have the political strength to push through the very tough austerity measures that the markets believe the economy needs.
A defense lawyer says seven men, including two senior police officers, were indicted today for conspiracy to commit murder in the killing of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto in 2007. Syrian opposition groups reported explosions, shelling, and heavy machine gun fire today in the western Syrian city of Homs. Just this week, the Syrian regime promised to ease up on demonstrators and withdraw its security forces from the streets. With more than 200,000 households still without electricity in Connecticut after last weekend's snowstorm, the local power company's goal is to get 99% of the power back on in the state by tomorrow night. West Hartford Mayor Scott Slifka is not happy with the response so far.
We want to get people back out of the shelters. We want to get people's homes heated up. We want to get kids back in school. We want to get life back to normal. And this has been perhaps a case study in absolutely how not to manage in a crisis.
Connecticut Governor Daniel Manoy says he's not happy with the pace of power restoration in the state either. This is CNN Radio.
Announcing the 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic, a first-of-its-kind college basketball game played on an aircraft carrier, the USS Carl Vinson. This Veterans Day, truly amazing. Today's rates are just as amazing. 3.99% on a 30-year fixed, APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-2611. And don't forget to watch the 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic on ESPN November 11th.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, and MLS number 3030.
As a home plate ump, my eyesight is my paycheck.
Strike one!
Strike, that thing was chin high!
But the price of monthly contact lenses was eating me up.
Strike two!
Come on, it bounced to the plate!
So to save some money, I'm just using these glasses I found. Cha-ching!
Strike three, you're out!
He hasn't even pitched the ball yet!
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Need cash? Sell unwanted gold and diamond jewelry to Empire Diamond. Call 1-800-728-3425. In the Empire State Building since 1931 and a reputable Better Business Bureau member, Empire is paying the highest prices ever. The time to sell is now. Empire Diamond offers the highest cash prices without any pressure. Don't wait for gold prices to drop. Call 1-800-728-3425. That's 1-800-728-3425. Or visit EmpireDiamond.com.
For Margaret, we shared a newspaper in a thunderstorm. We raised three amazing children. We sang at the piano until the neighbors complained. So here's to making the next 30 years as wonderful as the first. Love, Adam.
When you give the gift of New York Life, you give the most selfless gift of all. New York Life Insurance Company can help you plan a secure retirement so you can spend your retirement years the way you deserve. Contact your New York Life agent or visit us at newyorklife.com.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. We've got your forecast here. It looks like we've got some partly cloudy skies today. About a 30% chance of afternoon showers and a high of 60 with northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be overcast, rain showers, low of 44, west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow, partly cloudy, chance of showers, high of 60. West-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet. We got a west swell of 4 to speed at 11 seconds. And tonight, southwest winds 10 to 15 knots. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet. We got a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. And southwest 3 feet at 16 seconds. It's also going to rain out there tonight. On Sunday, we got the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 4 to 6 feet 11 seconds. And south 3 feet at 16 seconds. And a chance of showers. Current temperatures, we've got, let's see, Salinas is at 44 degrees. It is 45 in Watsonville. Monterey is at 51. And we are at 52 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, nothing major to report right now. If you see something out there, you can call me at 475-1080. And let's see, the official time is 11:06 and 6 seconds on this Saturday, November 5th. Up next, we got the second hour of the Saturday special coming at you right now.
Right now?
Right now.
You sure?
Well, I'm sure that you're coming at him.
Okay.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Telling our engineer extraordinaire, Richard B. Luther II, during the break, that it's time to go buy some squeakless chairs. So, anybody have any idea?
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
The squeakless chairs must, obviously be squeak-free. But beyond that, they must be comfortable. My squeakless comfortable chair has to have arms. From what I understand from the rest of you folks around here, you do not want arms on the chairs. But you do want them comfortable and squeak-free, yes? I think I'm talking to myself. All right, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. It's poor old MZ here. I think we got a board full of callers here. All right. You know what? Keeping the format, we're going to play Kay's commentary here. I think it's a brand new one. And I think it's world premiere right now. I think this is the first time we played it. But if I'm wrong, you know, I can't be too wrong. So let's just play it now, okay?
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Dear listeners, this information was recently sent to me by Chris Kincaid, president of the National Committee Against the United Nations Takeover. Concisely, I have no use whatsoever for the UN, who, since its inception, never performed for the world's benefit. It has been subsidized almost entirely by the generous U.S. for the past 60 years, and now our president, no surprise, is using the UN to promote his contrary hope and change ideas. Many Americans are wondering how President Barack Hussein Obama will push his radical agenda now that the House of Representatives is controlled by conservatives. And now we know. Obama has informed the Senate, which is still controlled by liberals, that there are 17 treaties that he wants ratified. What kind of a leader wants to create treaties which clearly weaken and will hurt his own country? If these treaties are ratified by the Senate, number one, foreign law will replace the U.S. Constitution. Number two, the United Nations will have the power to impose global taxes on the American people. Three, the United Nations will take control of oil resources off the American coast. And four, the United Nations bureaucrats and international lawyers will even have the authority to tell the U.S. Navy where it is allowed to go. Barack Obama supports these anti-American international treaties that threaten our sovereignty, our Constitution, and even our way of life. And the liberal Senate could help Barack Obama ram through this leftist foreign policy agenda with these treaties. A UN global tax treaty, a UN treaty to overturn America's Second Amendment, which is your right to bear arms, and other UN treaties would replace the U.S. Constitution with UN foreign law. Do you approve of Barack Obama's pro-United Nations treaty agenda? Hopefully, none of these treaties will be voted in. We the people must not allow Obama's second term, or our nation as we know it will be destroyed. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Well, well, well. By the way, Kay is here if you want to come and buy her book. It's a good thing to do. $24.95, or, you know, if you want to buy multiple copies, there's a discount, nice discount. Welcome to hour number two. We're expecting a visit from pharmacist Ben Fuchs here, both literally this week on November 8th, 2 days, 3 days from now, Tuesday, November 8th. He's going to be speaking at the First Congregational Church. And for those of you who've never watched Ben speak, you know, there's no way I can oversell this. I mean, there's just no, it's impossible. The guy's an amazing public speaker, and what he speaks about so passionately is health, is taking care of your health, and doing it in such a way that he's a pharmacist who doesn't like prescription drugs. Pretty cool, huh? I mean, I hate prescription drugs. I have a cough now that's probably never going to go away because I took some blood pressure medication that I probably shouldn't have taken that caused that side effect. Every prescription drug has side effects. And every prescription drug that causes a bunch of side effects gives you an excuse to have to take other prescription drugs that take other side effects. Before you know it, you're on polypharmacy. And the whole big pharma thing and the whole medical industrial complex is all tied up in this whole thing. And I think it's just plain evil. I really, really do. And it doesn't have to be that way. If you need to, you should at least, you know, put yourself in a position so that you understand what's going on here. Just like we're trying to do by putting out this information about what's happening with the banks and the derivatives and the rape going on of the American public here. It's the Saturday special. It's MZ. You're invited to call and participate. We're going to be having Ben Fuchs on. Ben is going to be checking in with us in just a minute. I see he's back on the line. We need to finish up with a whistleblower, though, and then we're gonna sort of switch over to Ben and give you a little preview of what you'll be able to see Ben speak in person, talking about this next Tuesday. Here we are on hour number two of the Saturday special. The phone number is 479-1080 in area 831. The email address is mz@ksco.com. Okay, Rick says, MZ, please apologize to your audience for my bad language. As you can see, this whole issue sends me into orbit. Great topic. They want chaos so they can take total control. Pray for our country. Rick Bowen from Scotts Valley. Okay. Let's bring the whistleblower back on here, and we'll bring Ben on too together because, you know, I asked Ben to call at 11 o'clock. It's almost 11:15 right now, so let's bring let me figure out how to do this here, whistleblower, and we're going to bring him back on.
You can hear me.
Yeah, hello. I can hear you now. We're going to lock you in, and we're also going to bring on pharmacist Ben. And Ben, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay.
I don't feel like I really quite fit in to your erudite guest.
Oh, okay.
Follows,
well, that's fine. So, all right, we'll put you back on hold, and we'll come back in just a few minutes after we finish up the callers, okay?
Okay, good. Thanks.
Sounds good. There's pharmacist Ben, and we will bring him back on. Okay, so whistleblower is on Let's also bring on Dick in Santa Cruz. Hello, Dick. You're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, hey, kudos to Financial Hitman. That was great. Just had a couple of comments. Seems like, you know, connecting the dots is the most important here. I mean, 3 years ago, the banks and Bush and Goldman Sachs and the Democrats and the Republicans, they all gave away the money without strings attached. That's all, you know, old history. And, you know, human greed is there. It'll always be there. So we need, I think the occupiers and the Tea Parties have some common ground, you know, to control that human greed. And I just want to bring up a couple of things that I think there's some common ground. I think one thing you can look at is the basic corruption in government, such as, well, the Fed is one, of course. That's a big one we need. I think they both agree, full audits on the Fed. But also the pensions, you know, the unfunded, just in California, is like $500 billion of unfunded pensions. What's the matter with putting everybody on?
What does that mean?
It
means when they're needed, they're not there? Is that what unfunded means?
Yeah, projected. It's projected that that's how far we're behind right now. And, it gets kind of complicated, but that's the number. But I also wanted to say, I think they would agree. I think both on the left and right, at least some of my friends on the left agree, hey, these government pensions are out of place. You know, they don't pay Social Security in a lot of states and counties and feds, and they get free health care, you know, so when they retire. So I think that's corruption. I think it's basic corruption. And I think both the Tea Partiers and occupiers, if some of these things were pointed out, that Obama would be really on thin ice. I mean, because he's right now basically backing the occupiers, and if those people woke up, and I think some of the things they asked for are really common ground of the Tea Party. Well,
whistleblower is an occupier.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not how sure whether he sort of acts like he's sympathetic, but I don't necessarily think that a lot of the occupiers are very happy with Obama, and I think a lot of them have voted for him and are very disillusioned.
That's good.
Well, and come to the conclusion, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I just want to make a couple more points of common ground. Put them all on 401ks. I bet everybody would vote for that. I think the regulation of lobbyists, definitely, you know, there's cross-contamination at the board level, you know. The HP CEO is on the Sun's board, and they're all voting each other, you know, and shareholders have no control, really. It's out of control, the board at the board level. So, and, you know, they outsource jobs and do whatever they want to, you know, jack up their prices of their stock. And the other thing is, I think both the Tea Parties and the occupiers would like to hold back some of our funds from overseas. Some of the, you know, I mean, we're giving away all kinds of money to people that hate us, and we have, you know, a lot of military bases in Europe and Germany. I mean, it's ridiculous in Germany. Anyway, from World War II. I think they would agree a full audit on the Fed, and I think they would agree that the regulation that got out of control way back, you know, 4 years ago is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, besides the Fed, the derivatives were not controlled. There's basically outrageous gambling going on in Wall Street with those, and we do need more regulations. And I would say a lot of Tea Partiers would say we need regulations in certain parts. What they're both also have a common ground on is they both want freedom. They just kind of define it a little differently.
All righty. Thanks, Dick. We appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Now we're going to our next caller here, and that would be who is our next caller? I think that's Craig in Boulder Creek. Craig, you're on the air.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago I went down to Denny's to have breakfast. And a friend of mine was down there. I hadn't seen him in years because he moved up to Sacramento. And they were all talking about the affirmative action liar loans that they had gotten back in 98, 99, 2000. And he was getting ready to lose his house because the prices in California had gone up so fast. You know, air inflated housing prices, not real value. And so he had been told to put his wife and him down as full-time workers, and they weren't really working full-time, to raise their salaries up enough to really get afford this house. And the others have been told the same things. They just said, you know, state your income is this amount, and you will qualify to buy the house.
You're reinforcing what Whistleblower was saying. So
yeah, and what the people are doing at the banks is they're looking at these as ways of generating fees. They just bundle these things up and sell them back and forth and get fees off of them. What we need to do is make sure the banks, when they put out the loans, keep the loans and they'll sell them.
When did that start? Do you know, Whistleblower? When did that the business of selling the loans?
Income, I think, was sometime in the early 2000s, maybe 2003 or 4. May have been a little.
It was never done before then, huh? I sure
I'm
never remember hearing.
Exact inception, but sometime around 2002, 3, 4 is when I think those came in. You know, and I know Corey Gold and others would love to place the blame squarely on the shoulders of the borrowers, but, you know, when people are trying to just work their butts off and get a piece of the American pie, and the bankers say, hey, we'll give you zero down loan and a super low payment that you can actually afford for 3 years, and you don't have to come up with any money, all you got to do to qualify is be breathing. I mean, you can't then blame the person who was like, wow, I can get a house and a form of a payment that's close to the what rent is and get a three-year loan on that. That's great, you know. You can't very well blame the consumer when the bank is the one, making the rules. And it's just really fraudulent inducement is what it is.
Okay,
and
thank you.
You were able to get the loans there for not only 100%, but sometimes 110%, 120%. Because you're going to be doing things to fix the place up. And like I said, this was back in 98, 99, and 2000 they were getting these loans. And they were also bundling those things at that time, not as much as they were later, but they were putting a few of them in groups of, I'm not sure how many units, to sell off because they didn't want to keep the loans because they knew it was selling loans at a...
they didn't want them on their own book.
And lying on it that they weren't worth what they were holding.
Craig, want to thank you for your call to the Saturday special. We got three other callers here, and then we're going to move on to Pharmacist Ben, and we're going to talk about Tuesday coming up. So our next caller will be Norma Jean in Capitola. Hey, Norma Jean, welcome to KSCO, the Saturday special.
Hi, I'm a real estate broker that worked in that market, and it was around 2002, 2003. I was working for a savings loan and also AIG, and that's what we were told, just, just get some things down, your name, Social Security. And I was a broker, so I filled out mine completely, but people were turning in loans without anything, and the loan agent would put it down, and, of course, you know, he made $300,000 that year. But also what people didn't know, and I think it's been corrected, I've been retired for a couple of years, but loan agents did not have to have a license, only the broker they worked under. So there might be 200 loan agents under one broker, how many of those 200 agents, most of them didn't have a license. And people were giving them personal information. So there's a lot of fraud taken out of that. But my big gripe is the banks, my friend's house here in Capitola, why they were making arrangements with her to pay up her back payment. She paid like $5,000, and 3 days later somebody knocked on her door and said, we bought your house from another bank. They had sold her loan and still took her $5,000. I couldn't get a loan because my dead husband couldn't sign the papers, and Texas agent idiot says, you know, he still has to sign even though he's in heaven. But anyway, moving on, because I stopped by the Occupiers yesterday. I donated some food. We had a nice birthday party, and so we had a lot of pizza and cake left over, and I donated that. So I want to ask people, help them donate them. They really need water. They can use blankets because they are taking their time out. I'm too old to sit down there in the cold now to help them. I'll go down for a few hours a day. But you know, we need to respect what they're doing and say, you know, putting their lives on hold and taking the risk of getting arrested and everything else. So, you know, help our occupiers and damn the banks. And I will close out my account, but just for some people that, you know, I was ready to run down today, like he gave me a thing to run down and close my account, and I told him I would. And I said, hey, I got to change my automatic deposit before I do that. So we should alert people.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's important. Bless your heart for doing that. And I just want to tell people, in case you're worried, if you're tuned into Fox News, the assertion that there's just human feces and rats all over everybody down there, it's actually not.
What, did that come from Fox News?
Yeah, so I've heard that off news, yes.
Oh, I know you heard that from one of our callers last week.
Bill O'Reilly stated that, they had to get him out of there. There was human feces everywhere. There was rats.
Okay. You know. All righty.
Thank you, MZ, for getting rid of Fox News, because we couldn't stand that.
Fox News, it wasn't hard to do, because Fox News insisted that we turn over more of the radio station to them. They demanded it, and I said, no, it's my station, not yours. So.
Right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for doing a good job, both of you. Thank you, whistleblower. Thank you.
Okay, here's our next caller, Martha in Watsonville. Hi, Martha, you're on the air.
Hello, I have the radio down now.
Good.
I have been holding ever since you told me to go turn my radio down.
Okay, good. Get to the point now, please, Martha. Please get to the point. We're real busy. We got to get on to our next caller.
I called when they were having that terrible medical marijuana stuff, which I was going to say they're all crazy. It's the drug cartels. What's wrong with our economy? And you know it, and I know it. And about the banks, I don't know. I have B of A and Citicorp, and I don't know what to do. It's scary.
Well, there's a lot of local banks. There's Santa Cruz County Bank. There's the community credit unions.
Oh, I don't go there. No.
What do you have against the credit unions?
Started with a bunch of socialists, and that's where this country is going. And they're part of the headaches of the drug cartel, I think, because they're all together.
Okay, so
part of the medical marijuana, it is a conglomeration of socialists. That's what it is.
Well, I'm here to tell you I'm a capitalist to the core, and thank God my doctor has given me a prescription and helped to bring me in compliance with the law. And if I find that medicine helpful to me, I don't know who you are to try to get between me and my doctor. But thank you for your call.
It makes people crazier than medicine from the doctor.
Oh, and you must have watched Reefer Madness in the 60s.
That's
right. Crazy. Makes people crazy.
And they're selling at black market, too.
Well, okay. And Prozac and the rest of these drugs don't make people crazy. I mean, I know it helps people, but, you know.
Either, but you don't go from the one to the worst to the other.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm listening to my doctor, but thanks for your advice.
Well, think about it. The drug cartel's having a ball with America and all these people who want to have these farms.
Yeah, and don't you think decriminalizing these drugs, don't you think?
That's addictions.
If you want to get rid of the drug cartel,
look at the woman who was drinking and marijuana. She killed those kids. Look at up on Highway 1 on Coast Road. That accident not too long ago was marijuana.
No. Tens of thousands are from alcohol and driving every year. There's no documented cases of marijuana.
When they have too much alcohol, they usually pass out. But with marijuana, they just keep going and going and going.
Sorry, but there have been multiple studies about driving and marijuana, and there's no evidence that marijuana even impairs driving, and that's why when they do field sobriety tests, they don't even have one to test you for marijuana because it's not possible to tell.
Of God and our brains he gave us.
I sure am happy we have this new system here, because I individually pot people up and down here. So in the old system, you couldn't do that. Anybody who was coming in on the phone, they came in on one pot. So I can have Martha. Oh, Martha? What happened to Martha? Martha went away.
Speaking of pot.
I think you got Martha so upset that she hung up on you, whistleblower.
Not again.
Shame on you.
If you want to break the drug cartels back, legalize drugs.
All right, now this is the topic. This is a perfect segue for Ben. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs. Hi, Pharmacist Ben Fuchs. Are you there, Pharmacist Ben Fuchs?
I hope I didn't offend him too.
Hey there.
He's there.
I don't think that lady hung up. I think she had a heart attack. and I think she could have used a hit off a bong or something to melt.
That's what I'm saying. She would have been much more relaxed.
That was an uptight woman. Holy moly. Now, marijuana is designed for women like that. There's actually, by the way, neurotransmitters in your brain that are exact mimics of the marijuana actives. They're called endocannabinoids. And they're exact biomimics of the botanical active tetrahydrocannabinol in marijuana. So you might have a hard time explaining that away if you want to talk about God and what God gave us and our brains that God gave us.
Am I given to understand that under the right circumstances that you think that marijuana could be safely used and might even be beneficial for some people?
Well, beyond that, I don't really think, you know, I don't like the idea of medicating pharmacologically necessarily, but how dare somebody get between you and your medicine, as I heard you say, especially a governmental or a law enforcement body. And secondly, the darn thing grows from the ground, people. It's a ball. You might as well make lettuce illegal. You might as well make broccoli illegal. It's so it's retarded on the face of it to try to take a plant out that grows off the earth that's illegal. And really what it is about, and people need to understand this because it dovetails into what you were talking about earlier, is that the criminal justice system is an economic enterprise that's worth many, many, many billions of dollars to a few people. Not to me, perhaps, and not to you, whistleblower MZ, or probably to many of your callers, but to this elitistocracy that is benefiting from all of the financial handouts that are going out that you guys were talking about in the first hour. So when something gets legalized and criminalized, it's not necessarily because it's a bad thing. In 100 years from now, or 1,000 years from now, or 500 years ago, we have completely different standards about what is bad and what is good. So this idea of legislating what is appropriately moral in a specific time period is really more than a red herring and a boondoggle and a financial cash cow for a certain strata of the culture.
Called the prison industrial complex. They are building
pretty much.
They're faster than schools. And cities now where they can trace a direct link to how many people are dropping out of school and how many prison beds they'll need.
That's right. And not only that, this whole I got people bitching and moaning about budget deficits and about the economy and printing dollars and where are we going to get the money from. But I don't hear anybody squabbling or arguing about all the money that's being spent, not just on defense, but on police actions that are arbitrary executive decisions. We've collapsed these two very separate subjects, and we think we go to Afghanistan, Iraq, that's a defense thing. It's not a defense thing. It's a police action, and it's an executive decision, and it isn't even largely in terms of defense. So we got to start examining where we're spending our money, and I will present to you that there's a lot of money out there. There's plenty of money that could be saved in cutting certain elements of the budget that are somehow sacred cows that nobody wants to talk about or touch.
Exactly. Well, apparently there was almost 800,000 people arrested on petty marijuana offense last year. And I'm sorry, with people out there getting away with murder and rape, can't we divert some of that police attention to something people care about, like rape and murder?
The problem is, whistleblower, is anger is not the right answer because we don't do our best thinking when we're angry. And I would present to you that our anger is actually manipulated by people who understand psychology and who have not necessarily the most benign of intents, unfortunately. Our psyches have been so picked apart and analyzed, and we know exactly how to manipulate the human psychological dimension to such a fine-tuned extent that we can make anger happen at the snap of a button, we can make buying decisions happen at the snap of a button, we can make somnambulism and sleepwalking happen at the snap of a button, and by snap of a button I mean certain key words, certain key images, certain key sounds, certain key color schemes, certain key shape schemes, geometric schemes. We can control the mind to such an extent, and you and I, whistleblower, and the people it's easy to be angry here, but the people who are getting angry about this stuff, we need to reexamine why we are being angry, why this anger is being produced, because that's exactly what they want. They want to scare.
Are you talking about the caller, Martha? The angry caller, Martha?
I'm talking about all people. It's so easy to fall into anger about
this. Is that what you're talking about specifically?
No,
because
no, I'm talking about everybody. You too. I'm talking about me, myself. I'm talking about UMZ. I don't know whistleblower, but I can assume I'm talking to a certain extent to whistleblower. This rage that is so easily rises when we get raped and ripped off the way we've been, and it's something that we have to be very careful of because we don't do our best thinking and we don't do our best physiologic work. We don't heal as well. We don't resist disease as well. We don't resist the vicissitudes of life as well. The homeostatic mechanism begins to turn off as survival kicks in. We have to be very careful about going into rage, going into anger, going into these dysfunctional moods and biochemical signatures that do not serve us. And that's the only thing I would say. because I can see I myself get pissed off when I hear about this kind of stuff, and I got to take a step back and say, you know what? In life, you get dealt certain hands, right? And those hands, you could be born with a birth defect, or you could get hit by a car and have a spine, some kind of terrible spinal damage, or you can be born into a culture that is where the masses are not necessarily the sharpest thinkers in the drawer, where critical thinking is not at a premium and it's not valued, and there is a level of the culture that is hegemonist, that wants to be totalitarian in its power and dictate to everyone else. That's the cards we were dealt. You and I, by being born in the year 1960 in America, I was dealt that card. That's what I have. How am I going to approach that in the most constructive, effective way? And I would present that screaming, yelling is not, and being angry is not the most constructive way. There has to be
anger causes stress, and stress must be viewed as a disease-causing entity.
It will eventually kill you, absolutely, if you don't learn how to communicate.
We all need to be calm, but at the same time, I think that I hear you, and I, like I said, when Mike asked me how I feel this morning, what I say? I said, I feel like $1 million. I might
That's
have
right.
lost $1 million in the last 3 years, but I feel like $1 million. At the same time, there is a part of me that is mad as hell at what's going on.
Yes.
I can't take it anymore.
I understand. I understand.
With a smile. With love. With a smile. I'm out there.
One of the most important of human needs is the need to feel in control of your life. That is one of the fundamental of human needs. And they do experiments with rats, and they show that when rats are put in an environment where they don't have control over what happens to them, by much younger, their cortisol and stress levels, stress chemicals are much higher. So we know, and we know just personally from living our life, that being out of control, having somebody else make decisions for you, not knowing what's coming up next, these are very stressful situations. So it's very understandable that when somebody sticks their nose in your business and tells you what you can do, when you can do it, where you can put your money, and give me some of that money, it's going to stimulate some very primal fears and some very primal needs. It's really hardwired into us to feel in control of our lives. So we have to learn to feel in control of our lives despite what's happening on the outside, and that, to me, controlling what's happening on the inside is always going to be your ultimate key to power, whether that's physical well-being or emotional well-being or mental well-being or even spiritual well-being. And that's why in the Bible, and I'm not going to get religious here, but one of my favorite lines in the Bible, he says, if anyone says, look over there, look over there, look over there, look over there, they don't know what they're talking about, so the kingdom of heaven is within you. And what that means is inside we have control over our lives to such an extent, not necessarily that things won't happen to us, but our power comes in how we perceive what happens to us. And by the way, during great depressions and great recessions, a lot of people make huge fortunes. So if you're smart about it somehow, there's always opportunity where there's crisis. As the old cliche says in Chinese, the pictogram for crisis is exactly the same as the pictogram for opportunity. So it's like the little kid on Christmas who gets a bunch of horse crap for Christmas, and he's digging through the horse crap, and he's not sad. He's not, and his sister says, aren't you bummed out? You got a bunch of horse crap for Christmas. And the kid says, no, I know there must be a pony in here somewhere. It's that kind of thing, you know.
Are you going to come down and visit and with some of this fire and excitement and join and come down and support the Occupy movement?
Oh, it's like he's asleep now, a whistleblower. You know, Ben is this is the least passionate I've ever heard Ben.
Are you going down to support those people and tell them, bring down a couple pizzas or a blanket or something and tell them to keep on keeping on?
I will give them all of the love I can muster from the bottom of my heart. And I won't share anger because I can't bring myself to feel that kind of rage. But my heart goes out to
you support the people that are doing the burnings. I mean, there's some fringe people that are taking it to the extreme, but believe all, like, me and my father, my sister, and lots of thousands and thousands of other people are not out there looting or trying to break stuff, and we're pissed off too, but where it's peaceful, it's loving, and
You know what I'll do? This is what I like to live my life in this manner. I like to live my life giving value with what I can give. I believe everybody presents a certain built-in value. Everybody has a certain gift that they can give to the world, and it's hardwired into them, and all the value and all the gifts that we each give are completely different. And I have a certain gift that I give to the world. I have a certain value that I present to the world. And so my way of contributing to the culture, contributing to the kids out there, or the, not just the kids, but everybody out there at Occupy Wall Street, my way of contributing to the whole man is to share what I know about health and to share what I know about well-being, to share what I know about how the body works. If anybody out there at Occupy Wall Street needs help with what I can give, with what my specialty is, what my special gift is, I'll be glad to contribute that with great joy.
Now, if that doesn't motivate you folks, everyone listening to the Saturday special, to go to KSCO.com website and register for the free lecture. Ben is flying out on Tuesday to be with us Tuesday night. And by the way, Pam from who sent me the email, it is Tuesday, November 8th. Apparently, there's a promo that's running that says it's Thursday or something. It's not Thursday. It's Tuesday, November 8th. Tuesday. 3 days from now, today's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, November 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church, 900 High Street. There's space for 400 people. Whenever we have been out here, we normally hire a room to fit about maybe 100. I wanted an extra large room this time. So I went to First Congregational Church. It's a wonderful, wonderful facility in West Santa Cruz near the entrance to UC Santa Cruz. And the talk will be free. And all we want to do is share. You know, we want to clue you in on being healthy. And you don't have to buy anything. You don't need anything to get in. You should just come. But all we ask is that you go to KSCO.com and put in reservations for you, yourself, however many people you want to bring, and do your friends and your family a favor by bringing them all to this free event this coming Tuesday, 3 days from now, starting at 7 p.m. Doors will open at 6 p.m., but we ask that you go to KSCO.com, click on Ben's nose. It's very prominent, banner at KSCO.com on the homepage, and shoot us an email. It'll tell you what to do here, and I will get it, and we will confirm your space at the free event. Let me put Ben and Whistleblower back on here.
MZ, did I really hear you say to click on my very prominent nose?
No, not that very was, prominent. That was, I just said was, I just said click on Ben's nose. I didn't say very prominent.
I
thought I heard prominent on the website, I'm sure. Oh, okay. All right. I misunderstood. All right. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that,
because
I'm sensitive that way.
Yeah. So anyhow, Ryan, and you've come out here a bunch of times, and you love to speak not only in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is one of your favorite places, but...
No, Santa Cruz is my favorite place to speak. Boulder would be, but they won't let me talk here any longer. So
what?
I'm worn out my way.
What's that all about?
I'm teasing. Okay. But no, Santa Cruz is my favorite place to speak because Santa Cruz has by far and away the most, the greatest percentage per capita, at least per capita that attends my talks, of highly intelligent intellectual people. And I really enjoy that a lot. I don't have to dumb myself down. I have to dumb myself down a lot because some of the ideas I talk about, we've been hypnotized to believing they're complicated. They're really not that complicated, but many people believe they're complicated. But people in Santa Cruz and in that area are not afraid of an intellectual challenge, and they're willing to push themselves on that level.
There is a celebrated local journalist named Steve Bankhead who has sent an email. It says, MZ, I've heard a few foolish arguments for legalizing pot, but today's from the pot advocate around 11:30 a.m. that you can't criminalize it because it's a natural plant might have beat them all in terms of emptiness. Who said that? Did you say that, pharmacist?
I said that you should not have anything that grows from the ground, you should have a right to do as you please with it. Period, end of story. Put that, if that clown who just sent you that email has a problem, put him on and let's talk about it.
Okay, Steve, call 479-1080.
How dare anybody tell you what you can do with something you grow out of the ground?
Well, let me finish his email. Let me finish.
Thank you. God gave it to us. Well, who exactly? Couldn't agree.
God gave us poison ivy and poison oak. What are you going to do, chew on it?
I don't want to make him illegal, MZ.
Okay.
Legality is my. I don't want anybody telling me what I can do with my poison ivy, poison oak, marijuana. Now, cocaine and certain drugs are different. Okay, that's not the same thing.
Right.
I'm talking about. And by the way, I don't even believe the government. I don't like any government.
I don't know.
What about that?
The only reason. Hold on, guys. Wait, guys. Hold on here. Steve Bankhead is a fine individual. I know Steve. He's called over for many years. He sends very thoughtful emails. But I want to finish reading his email. There's only another sentence. It says, because the natural plant might have them beat them all in terms of emptiness. Heroin also comes from a plant, the opium poppy. So I guess we should also legalize heroin, morphine, etc. Just wondering, Steve in Watsonville. Now, Steve, please call 479-1080 and go on the air with both Whistleblower and Ben Fuchs, or individually just with Ben Fuchs. Please. This would make some great radio. And it's about time we had some great radio on this station. I'm tired of all this boring radio. We need to get some great radio. Don't you think, guys?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, don't you think that they've been chewing coca leaves in South America for thousands of years? So we just criminalize all these indigenous people for something they've been doing since before we were even a country, they were chewing coca leaves. And guess what? There's a lot of people that think brewing a tea out of an opium poppy is a very, powerful, simple way to relieve pain. And I may be at the far end of the spectrum, but all I can say is that our government has been proven to be heavily involved in the cocaine distribution in this. That's a known fact. So it just seems to me that the whole making it illegal is just simply.
There's no question that that marijuana should be totally legal. And I think most drugs should be legal. And so did my father. In fact, well, I'll tell you the story some other time. But here, let's take our next caller, Reggie in Monterey. Reggie, welcome to the Saturday Special with Ben Fuchs, Whistleblower, and MZ.
Ben, I remember the call that you first called in to Dr. Joe Wallach to introduce yourself. That was quite a while ago.
Yeah, you have your radio on or something?
Well, I'm on the cell. Yeah, I better hang up because it's a bad connection.
All right. Well, it's too bad we didn't get to hear what Reggie had to say. All right, but we got to have a break anyhow. So stay there, Ben. Stay there, Whistleblower. Stay there, KSCO audience, because if you leave, if you tune out now, just because we're going to a commercial break, you are going to be sorry.
Hey, everyone. Pharmacist Ben here to invite you to a free lecture, an evening of health and wellness, Tuesday, November 8th, 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church, 900 High Street, near the entrance of UCSC in Santa Cruz. It'll be free and fun and information-packed, and it'll be your opportunity to get some practical ideas and tips about how your body works, why you don't feel as well as you could, and what you can do to turn around any health challenge you're dealing with easily and immediately. You'll leave well-informed and back in control of your health. Spend an hour or two with me Tuesday, November 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church, 900 High Street in Santa Cruz. And make sure you check out The Bright Side, my daily nutrition program, 8 a.m. weekdays, Monday through Friday on KOMY 1340 a.m.
Tickets are free, but you need reservations. To reserve your seats, simply use your own email program and type in reservations at KSCO.com. Tell us how many tickets you would like to reserve and tell us your name. Or go to KSCO.com, our website. Click the Ben Fuchs banner and tell us your name and how many tickets you'd like to reserve. Your ears will smile when Barbershop Harmony teams up with our best student singers for two incredible concerts this Sunday at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium. Make your plans to attend Sing for Your Life 2011, a benefit for vocal music in our schools produced by the Gold Standard Chorus. Sing for Your Life will feature the choirs of 10 local schools with special guest barbershop quartets. Your ticket will help promote music in our schools, and you'll have a musical blast listening to student choirs. Tickets are $15 advanced and $20 at the door. Children 12 and under are free with parents. Sing for Your Life concerts at the Civic are Sunday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. For information, go to scbarbershop.org.
Get in on the fun and support music in our schools by attending Sing for Your Life 2011 concerts this Sunday at the Santa Cruz Civic.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my railgun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangerl. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangerl family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way
Hey, Nikki, whatever happened to that idea about doing a karaoke show? You and I were going to do that. What happened?
I think that people would like to keep karaoke in the bars.
Not on KSEO.
All I know is I do better with a beer in my hand. No.
I do too.
Right?
I do too.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do the karaoke.
That's
I've been
true.
Told that I'm an excellent singer, except when I clear my throat because I have all the phlegm in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought phlegm was spelled F-L-E-M. And then one day I saw this word, P-H-L-E-G-M. And I said, what's phlegm? You know? They said, no, you dope, that's phlegm, not phlegm.
Phlegm.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, this just in, important news flash from the Perspectives Radio Show, which is up next. This upcoming Thursday, November at 9 a.m. at the Santa Cruz County Building Courthouse, Department 4, the Santa Cruz Planning Department is attempting to sue Ray Kaler. Is it Ray or Roy? It's one of the two. And confiscate his entire property. Roy is a 27-year resident of Santa Cruz County and owns a beautiful 160-acre parcel in the Boulder Creek Mountains. There is some evidence that the county would like to actually confiscate the land from Roy Kaler by declaring him incompetent. Please help Roy by coming to the Santa Cruz County Building Courthouse November 10th in Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to help him. Perspectives will also be assisted by a prominent attorney who will talk to other victims about a class action lawsuit against the planning department. God, they're still at it. I mean, in 1988, we did a program on this station called the Citizens for Planning Reform talk show, which led to, our ownership of the radio station here. We were trying to reform the planning department, and I guess they're still at it. I mean, they're still doing outrageous, illegal things. But then we owe the planning department a debt of gratitude because a lot of people say that this radio station is a blessing to the community. And if it wasn't for the planning department, if it wasn't for the fact that we were doing that show in 1988, I wouldn't have been steeped in radio and I wouldn't have heard that the station was for sale and it never would have happened. Anyhow. All right, back to our callers, back to our guests here. I got to figure out how to do this here. Ben, I'm going to lock you in here. And Whistleblower, here, I'm going to lock you in here. Hi, you guys. Okay, where were we before we had to go to the break? I got to put you both on here. What were you saying?
Well, I think we were talking about potentially legalizing different, you know, things that grow out of the ground. And the other guy wrote in saying, well, what about heroin, and, you know, which is comes from opium poppies, and cocaine, which comes from the coca leaf. And I say exactly, you know, I mean, people should be able to drive or operate heavy machinery under the influence of everything. But if you want to grow like indigenous people in South America have for thousands of years, grown and chewed on coca leaf for extra energy, who's to say you can't? Why can't you? God made those plants. Did he make them so that they could be made illegal and throw people in jail and waste all kinds of money and use those same illegal things?
No, I appreciate your opinion, whistleblower, but I give much more weight to the opinion of Pharmacist Ben because of who he is. Who are you? I mean, hi, Ben. What do you think? Ben?
Boy, I wanted to hear the response to that. Pot him up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now
okay.
I can.
All right. Listen, heroin is a processed drug hundreds of times more potent than the opium plant. The opium plant could be chewed, and you probably catch this very fuzz, but heroin and morphine, these are processed products. They're not the same thing as marijuana. I can't believe you said that guy was a highly respected journalist. For him to equate something that grows out of the ground like a plant to with a processed drug like heroin strikes me as being simplistic to the most extreme degree. That doesn't mean...
Well, then we agree. I agree with him. He's basically saying the opium poppy and the coca leaf and marijuana are equivalent. They go out of...
Steve Bankhead is a highly respected local journalist, but he has not called. He has not called since, and I can't imagine that he's not listening. Maybe his phone's broken, or maybe it's run out of battery power. Wait a minute, you guys. This just in, this is an email regarding offensive language on KSCO Radio. And this is from Alan Smith from Prepaid Legal. Hey, MZ, the word that Rick got cut off for, that was the word that starts with S and ends with T and has an H and an I in the middle, was far less offensive in context than the word rape that you and others used and are about to be and about equal to pissed off, quote unquote, as your callers mentioned. Nice of Rick to give an apology, however, that was unnecessary. Oh, and by the way, how many listeners are puzzled by so many people calling a perfectly good weed pot? Well, I've always wondered if it's true that at the end of a rainbow is pot. Is it true?
I've always thought that.
Yeah. Pharmacist Ben would know.
No, I don't know why they call it pot, actually.
No, is it true that at the end of a rainbow is pot?
Let me ask you this. Does it make any sense? So you do agree, then, that plants that grow out of the ground, if someone wanted to grow a coca leaf or a opium poppy and make tea out of it, who cares? As long as if you can pass a field sobriety test after you've had one. I mean, again, if you're going to inebriate yourself with alcohol or anything to the point where you can't drive, you shouldn't be driving. But if you're in the living room.
Guys, listen, the only reason we're not laughing hysterically at the very notion of making pot illegal is because we become accustomed to it. But if the Far Side or Doonesbury or any of these other visionary and kind of clever comic strips did a cartoon on, say, broccoli being illegal, we would think it's funny. The Far Side cartoon, Gerald Larson.
If Martha did not have a heart attack, and of course I hope she did not, but she's the one who started this whole line of discussion.
Right.
If she did not have a heart attack and is willing, would you be willing to appear with her on a Saturday special to debate pot legalization?
It wouldn't be much of a debate, but MC, I wanted to talk about the bright side, the good news.
Okay.
How the human body is a healing system. It heals itself. If you have cancer, if you have heart disease, if you have something that a doctor has told you that for the rest of your life you're going to be on this kind of medication, you can begin a healing process within the time it takes to make a decision. That's how forgiving the human body is. So unless you're so far down the rabbit hole that basically your body's already started to disintegrate, there are all kinds of strategies that you can employ to exploit and take advantage of this incredible, mind-blowing, miraculous system that we so flippantly call our bodies without ever examining the miracles that take place. That's the only word I can use to describe it, because it's incomprehensible, the complexity and the intricacy of the most mundane of biochemical systems or reactions, such as a healing of cut. if you don't, if we're not completely blown away by this system, and if we don't take advantage of this system, then we are completely missing the boat on our lives, and there's not an economic scandal or a government scandal or a police scandal or a legal scandal that can come close to the scandal that has taken place with our misunderstanding and misuse
Now, can anybody hear what you just said and not want to go right to the KSCO.com website and register to go to your talk this Tuesday, not Thursday, Tuesday, November 8th at 7 p.m. That's it, guys. Thanks very much. That's the end of the radio program today here. And how come I'm not hearing any? Oh, here. Okay. Okay, KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's CNN.
Story the clock is ticking as Greek. Problems. The Greek prime minister survived a confidence vote last night in Parliament. George Papandreou is trying to form a new coalition government and pass an international bailout package. CNN's Jim Bolden reports, unlike Italy, where thousands of people are demonstrating against the government, all is calm in Athens.
Very peaceful. It's turned very political now. All this inside baseball, if you will, of who's going to put together what kind of coalition. It's a very delicate dance after that very dramatic confidence vote last night that Mr. Papandreou survived just barely.
Economist Zandi at Moody Analytics says Americans have reason to be concerned about the Greek economy and whether it drags down the eurozone.
Unfortunately, we are tethered at the hip with Europe, and if Europe has trouble, we do too as well.
Longtime CBS News commentator Andy Rooney died last night from complications following surgery. Rooney made his final appearance on 60 Minutes in early October. His colleague, CBS correspondent Bob Simon, says Rooney never can be replaced.
His slot will be retired the way Joe DiMaggio's number five was retired. There's nobody else who can do it. I have no inside information, but I'm confident that CBS has no intention of trying to do it.
A former Penn State assistant football coach has been charged with sexual child abuse, and two current university officials face charges of covering it up. 67-year-old Jerry Sandusky is a former defensive coordinator who retired in 1999. He was taken into custody today. Penn State's athletic director and school senior VP for finance and business also were indicted in the alleged cover-up. They're expected to surrender Monday. Connecticut Light and Power is defending its response to last week's freak fall snowstorm. Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy is pressuring the utility to meet its goal of restoring power to 99% of its customers by tomorrow night. He says so far he's not happy. As of this morning, some 200,000 customers still didn't have power. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. Are you better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals? It's a fixed rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 3.5%, APR 3.69%. Call today at 800-970-2611.
Call us for cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Announcing the 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic, a first-of-its-kind college basketball game played on an aircraft carrier, the USS Carl Vinson. This Veterans Day, truly amazing. Today's rates are just as amazing. 3.99% on a 30-year fixed, APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-2611. And don't forget to watch the 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic on ESPN November 11th.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, and MLS number 33.
As a home plate ump, my eyesight is my paycheck.
Strike one!
Strike, that thing was chin high!
But the price of monthly contact lenses was eating me up.
Strike two!
Come on, it bounced to the plate!
So to save some money, I'm just using these glasses I found. Cha-ching! Strike three, you're up!
He hasn't even pitched the ball yet!
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to GEICO.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I've got your forecast here for the weekend today. Partly cloudy, sun peeking out here and there. There is a 30% chance of rain. Afternoon showers. High of about 60. West, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tonight, overcast, rain showers. Low of 44. West, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, chance of showers, high of 60, west northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 10 knots and wind waves less than 2 feet. There's going to be a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. Tonight, we've got southwest winds 10 to 15 knots. The wind waves will be less than 2 feet, a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds, and southwest 3 feet at 16 seconds, and rain. Sunday, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds, and south 3 feet at 16 seconds, with a chance of showers. Current temperatures, it is 50 degrees in Salinas. In Watsonville, it's 51. And in Monterey, it's 54. We're at 55 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. And for your King of the Hill traffic update, there's a couple things going on here. We've got a traffic hazard on Highway 1 at Laguna Road.